Can you hear me now? I thought I had it switched all the way on. Amen. Trying out some new technology. Amen. I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 38. John chapter 1, and we'll just read one portion of scripture here. Verse 38, the Bible says, "Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?'" Or, "What seek thee?" "And they said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which is say, when translated, "teacher" or "master." "Where dwellest thou?" Where dwellest thou? Amen. I want to preach for the next few moments here on this title, "What Seek Ye?" What seek ye? Amen. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love you. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. God, we just pray that you anoint the remainder of this service, God. I pray that your word would go forth, God. Touch every heart. Touch every mind. God, let your will be accomplished in this place. We ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, help your favorite football team, the Dallas Cowboys, against the mighty Broncos of Denver. And everyone said amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. In the year 1996, two gentlemen, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, two graduate students at Stanford University, were working on a research project that eventually made them multi-millionaires and internet technology icons. Page and Brin created a website whose name is recognized by computer geeks and grandmas alike. Their research project was a new search engine that they named Google. Anybody heard of Google in this place? For the technically challenged and internet illiterate, Google is a site that helps you find what you're looking for on the internet. You can simply type in a word or a phrase, and Google gives you a list of websites that match your search. Amen. What words or phrases would best describe what you are searching for in life? I was just in my office last night preparing for this morning, and I received a text message from a family member. And they were asking me about a certain portion of scripture, a certain scripture that they remember hearing said a certain way, but now reading it a different way. And I was right there in my office, had my computer right in front of me. And what do? I pop up Google and I type in just a word, just a phrase, and you can find out just huge amounts of information. I mean, we are the information generation. We have information that's right at our fingertips, and a lot of it is done through Google. Amen. So Google is a place that you go to search for something. It is a place that you go to seek after answers. It is a place that you go when you are trying to figure out the answer to a hard question. And I wonder this morning, what words or phrases would best describe what you are searching for in life? If you could use Google for your life's pursuits, what would you type into the search engine? No doubt some of you would type in the phrase, "more money," because God knows we could all use more money. Some would search for true love. Others would enter the word happiness, because the search of their life is to find something that brings them true happiness. And long before Google ever came around, long before the internet and computers, Jesus asked a very relevant and important question. In John 1:38, Jesus turned to his first two disciples and he asked them, "What seek ye?" That's a very good question, because in reality, all of life is spent in the pursuit and search of something. But unfortunately, most people are seeking for all the wrong things. They are looking for love in all the wrong places. Someone once said that life is like money. You can spend it any way you want to, but you can only spend it once. Amen. When we spend money, there's really only two things that we can do with money. We can either waste it or we can invest it. Two things. And the same is true with life. You can either waste your life or you can invest it. Amen. Let's say this morning, let's imagine that you are starting your life over again. You are old enough to know what is going on, old enough to learn and love, old enough to really live out life. And if you could ask Jesus, what can I do to make my life better? What can I do to really invest my life and not waste it? What can I do to get the most out of every day? What do you think Jesus would tell you here this morning? I really don't think we have to wonder about it. I don't really think we have to get on Google and search what Jesus would have to say. I think I know exactly what he would say. And it's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. In other words, put him first. In everything that you do, put him first. Now, I know that might sound a little elementary to you this morning. That might sound a little simple. But I want to tell somebody here today that if you, beginning today, would consciously and continuously and consistently put Jesus Christ first in your life, it would absolutely transform your life. And you can do that here this morning. Stop seeking after worldly things that are fleeting and that will never satisfy. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto your life. All these things. All these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What seek ye this morning? What are you pursuing? What are you chasing? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So how do we do that, Bryce? How do we seek first the kingdom of God? How do we put him first? I believe the very first step is this. Start with setting proper priorities. Would you say that with me? Priorities. Priorities. If your priorities are not in order, your life is not in order. If your priorities are not right, you won't be right. You've got to get your priorities in order. You've got to get them right because the condition of your life depends on it. The condition of your life. And here's the thing. You may say, well, what right now? What is my number one priority? What should my number one priority be? I'm here to say you shouldn't have to pray about what your number one priority needs to be. You shouldn't have to think about it. You shouldn't have to discuss it with your husband or your wife. You don't have to have a family meeting about it. You don't have to look for it. Jesus has already given you the answers to the question. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God. You have to seek after it. Seek. You've got to seek after it. It's to actively pursue. It is to chase after it. It's in the present tense. It means continuously, every day of your life, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In the morning, you are to seek him. In the afternoon, you are to seek him. On Tuesday morning, you are to seek his face. On Wednesday night after church, you are to pray and seek the hand of God. Amen. Seeking God and pursuing God, we've turned it into a Sunday and a Wednesday thing, friends, but it was meant to be on Monday and Tuesday and Friday and Saturday. It is a life experience of seeking and pursuing God. And in order to see the kingdom of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we're seeking what? What are we seeking? In order to seek a kingdom, you must first seek a king. You cannot have a kingdom without a king. And that is our first priority. We are on this journey seeking the King. We are on this journey going after Jesus Christ. We are seeking His face. Listen to me. I'm thankful this morning that you have been baptized in Jesus' name. If you have not been baptized, can I tell you, we have a baptismal tank that we would fill up in a heartbeat just to get you in the water because we understand the importance of baptism. Amen. I'm thankful that most of you have been baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm thankful that you have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But friends, I said this Sunday in my message, that is not the finish line. A lot of times we view that as in, I finally made it. I have finally finished my course. I have come to the end here and I've spoken in tongues and I've been baptized, and we view that as the finish line. But that is merely the starting point. That is the door that you walk through to continue on through your journey. Amen. And on this journey, we are after the King. We are chasing Jesus Christ. Amen. Those things are not the finish line. That's the starting point. You've got to continually, actively, constantly seek Him. James 4 and 8 says this, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. God promised in His word in Jeremiah 29 and 13, the Bible says this, and ye shall seek me and find me. When? When? When ye shall search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. You see, it's not enough just to seek God. But if you plan on finding Him, you've got to do it with all your heart. You've got to seek Him first. Jesus wants the first moments of every day. He wants the first day of every week. He wants to be first in your life. Second place is non-existent to Him. Second place might as well be last place in your life. He's not interested in being the runner-up in your contest. He's not interested in being your vice president. He wants to be the King on the throne of your heart. He wants to be the King of kings. He wants all of it. So what seek ye? What are you after this morning? What are you seeking? What are you pursuing? John 1:38 again. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto Him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou? Jesus had asked them already what they were seeking. Then they asked the Lord, where dwellest thou? Certainly there were a lot of things these men wanted, but mainly they just wanted to be with Him. They did not invite Jesus back to their home. They didn't say, hey, let's run down to Ruby Tuesdays and grab the lunch special. They wanted to go where He was going. Where dwellest thou? They wanted to be where He was. It was not so much that they wanted Him to be a part of their lives as they were interested in being a part of His. Most people want Jesus to come into their lives and work around their schedule and to work on their time and their needs and their situations. Most people want God on their terms. That's why in a crisis we see prayer. That's why when things aren't going our way, we see knees in an altar. Amen. These men that Jesus had turned to, they weren't interested in Him going with them. They were interested in them going with Him. They wanted to be where He was. They wanted to be a part of what He was doing. They were interested in His work and what He had to say and what He was doing. Oh, that we would reach the point in our Christian lives where we simply want to be wherever He is. How different our prayers would be if we wanted to go after Him and to go with Him rather than Him coming with us. How different our lives would be if we wanted to go with Him rather than He with us. How different would our paths be if we wanted to go with Him rather than Him with us? How different would our lives be? How different would our prayers be? No longer would we pray the prayers, Lord, bless what I'm doing. Bless what I got going on. Rather, we would say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. God, I want to do what you're blessing. Lord, help me to do your will. Lord, you lead and I'll follow. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord this morning? Lord, I'm not driving this. God, you take the wheel. You're in control. How different would our lives be? How different would our paths be in life if we just wanted to be where He was? So we are to seek the King, and we are to seek His kingdom. The kingdom of God ought to be the obsession of your life. It is the rule or the reign of God in your life that you are seeking after. You see, to seek the kingdom of God is to seek the rule and the reign of God over your entire life. It's to say, God, you are the authority of my life. God, you are the one who rules and reigns in my life. Ask yourself this morning. Is Jesus reigning and ruling over your life? Is He seated on the throne of your heart this morning? Are we carrying out His will and not ours? You see, we would do ourselves well if every morning, every time we pray, that we begin by asking Jesus the very same thing that Paul asked Him on the road to Damascus when he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Church, when's the last time you prayed that? When's the last time you knelt down in an altar or a place in your home or while driving to work in the morning? Lord, what would you have me to do? I can tell you that if you are seeking after Him, if you are continuously and constantly seeking after Him, then you are praying that often. Because to those who are seeking after the kingdom of God, it is your heart's desire to be controlled by the King, to be ruled by the King, to let Him have control of your entire being. Amen. And some might think, oh, you're talking about slavery when you speak of that. But friends, the greatest liberty in life is found in being controlled by the right master. It's found in being controlled by the right King. The greatest experience of freedom that you will ever have is when you allow the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords to control your life. It's freedom. It's freedom. At the end of the day, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God knows what's best. His plans are greater than your plans. I challenge you today. Try to plan your life. Think about your future. Map everything out. Put everything down on paper. Where you will go and what you will do. Think about everything that you would like to accomplish. Write it all down. Put it in your phone. Whatever you want to do. And everything that you come up with, all of your dreams and ambitions, all of your imaginations will pale in comparison to everything that God has planned for your life. Everything that you could conquer up to think about would pale in comparison into what God has for you. But are you seeking Him? Are you pursuing His way and not your own? I read a story of a lady who was sick, deathly sick. The doctor had given her not much hope, and her neighbor had came over one day and began to talk with her, and he said, you know, What do you want to happen? What's going on here? And that lady, she said, I want whatever pleases God to happen. If it's to live, I want to live. If it's to die, then so be it. And he said, well, what if God would refer that back to you? What if God were to say, it's your decision? What if God would give you control? And she looked at her neighbor and she said, if God were to refer it to me, I would simply refer it back to God. This woman had her priorities straight. She had it all figured out. And you might think, you can believe it or not, but it is better to die in the will of God than to live outside of the will of God. You can believe that or not, but it's the truth. What seek ye? What are you pursuing? What are you chasing this morning? We want to seek the King, and we want to seek His kingdom. We want God to rule and reign over our lives. We want Him to have control over our plans. We don't want our plans to happen. Brother Bishop and I were having a conversation. He was telling me about a minister that preached a message one time, and if I get this right, the title of it was, God, please don't give me the desires of my heart. Please don't give me the desires of my heart. What was he saying? Our desires, if we would have stacked them up and put them against God's plans, oh, the difference that there is. We will always fall short. We will cut ourselves short every time when we try to grab the wheel and we say, I got this. I know what's best for my life. I know what's best for my family. Friends, you need to get under the will of God and to seek His face and let Him rule and reign over your life, because that is the best way that you could ever live out your days on this earth, is if you were to let God have His way. It's not slavery. We're not slaves held in bondage, but it's just the desire of our heart to have the one who promised to never leave us nor forsake us rule and reign over our lives. God, we want you to rule. We want you to reign. Matthew chapter 6. I'm hurrying to a close this morning. Jesus said this, that if you will seek His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. What things? What things? You know, a lot of time we say that, you know, we tell people, just seek God. Put Him first in your life. He'll give you everything you want. Whatever you want, put God first. What things was He talking about? Well, let's look at the context. Look back a few scriptures in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 says this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Church, the things that Jesus was referring to when He said, all these things shall be added unto you, those were the things that you and I worry about. They're the things that you and I need in this life. We worry about our finances, food, clothing, our health. And all of these are things that we need. We need finances. We need food. Praise God. We need good health. We need clothing. We need those things. That's why Jesus said in verse 32 of Matthew 6, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. So He is telling us, He is promising us, that if we will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, we will have all these things that we what? That we need. Not necessarily everything that we want, but everything that we need. Don't get that mixed up this morning. Don't say, well, God didn't give me what I needed. Well, was it what you needed or was it what you wanted? God knows what you need, and He'll supply what you need. God is in that business, and that's what He said. If you seek me, if you seek me first, if you seek my kingdom and my righteousness, all of these things will be added unto you. I'll take care of you. I know what you have need of. I know what you're seeking after. God wants to take care of your worry, church. He wants to take care of your stress. How? By all of these things being added unto you. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God always gives us what we need. Why? Because He knows exactly what we have need of. And where God leads, God provides. But is He leading your life? Would you stand with me here this morning? What seek ye? What are you after? What are you pursuing? What are you chasing? Can I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is the only worthy pursuit? He is worth seeking after. He is worth chasing. He is worth pursuing. Paul, with his dimmed eyes and weakened body, described his life's ambition as being this: that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Church, that is something to seek after. That is something to pursue. I know this might not seem like a very deep devotional this morning, but how many times do we overcomplicate things? I see people in a world of mess. I see people who struggle with life. You get on social media networks and you see the things that people write. You see the true lives of people. And you see the hurt. You see the anger and the bitterness. Why? Because they can't get something that's so simple. They struggle to put God first in everything. I have family members right now who I would love nothing more than to see in an altar praying, getting full of the Holy Ghost, living for God. But they simply can't put God first. Why? Why do we put our things, our trust, and our hopes in things that are fleeting and failing and that will never satisfy? This past Wednesday, I was speaking to the young people and I was teaching on Absalom and the story of Absalom and David and the war. And Absalom, he grabbed that mule and he headed for the forest. Most of you know the story and his hair. The Bible said he had weighed like 500 shekels or something like that. It was like 5 pounds of hair. And he's going through the forest and he gets tangled up in the trees. There he is hanging between heaven and earth. There will come a point in your life where heaven won't receive you and earth will reject you. And there's only one place left. And there he hung. And I told them, I said, the saddest part of that story, the saddest part. part of that scripture is when it says the mule ran away. The mule ran away. The very thing that he put his trust and his confidence in to help him get away, to help him escape, failed him. And I look around and I see people where they put their trust, where they put their hope, and they hope these things will work. They hope these things will get them through. And in reality, a lot of people, if you would talk to them, and they will say, hey, I'm just trying to make it through another day. I'm trying to just make it through another work shift. I'm trying to make it through another week. Friends, God has come. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. You don't have to live your life from day to day to day. But God has come, and his will is that you will live a life, not just life, but abundant life. God has everything that you need. It may not always be what we want, but it's what you need. Put him first. Seek God first. Put him first in everything. Tomorrow when you wake up, put him first. Put him first. Say, God, what would you have me to do? God, what is your will for this day? That's not just a prayer for ministry. That's not just a prayer for pastors. That's a prayer for everyone. God, what would you have me to do? Every head bowed and every eye closed in this place right now. I would just ask you if you would begin to pray in this place. In these closing moments before we take our break here in just a couple minutes, would you just say, God, I want to put you first. God, I'm seeking after you. God, you're the one that I'm chasing. You're the one that I'm pursuing. God, help me in this life to put you first in everything, God, in my family, in my work, God, my career, God, everything. God, we seek your face. God, we seek you first. God, in the morning, we desire you. God, in the evening, we desire you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. Lord, we seek after your face. Lord, we seek you first. We seek you first. Make this song your prayer.
Lead me, Lord.
Sing it with us.
I will follow.
Because where God leads, God provides.
Lead me, Lord.
Say,
I will go.
Lord, for you have.
You have called me.
Oh.
And I will.
Make it more than a song this morning. It's your heart's desire.
Lead me, Lord.
Oh, we need your leading.
I will follow.
So lead me, Lord.
Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we love you this morning. God, we're so thankful for your presence that's in this place, God. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we thank you for the promise, God, that if we would but seek you first. God, if we would but put you first in this life, God. God, we would have everything that we need. God, we would live the life that you called us to live. God, we pray for your leading this morning, God. God, as we stretch forth our hand, God, and we say, we pray, God. God, lead us. God, lead us. we seek you first. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.